He's going to show us how much we need Him. And in this hour, honey, you're going to need Him. You're going to need Him. I wonder what Shemaiah did say. Amen. You can't even handle what Peter said. You get that truth in your heart, then maybe He can reveal unto us Shemaiah. I like the name. Sounds good. It actually means Yahweh is He. That's what Shemaiah. No, it means heard by Yahweh. That Yahweh, heard by Yahweh. He has a name. It's not this foolishness. It's not God. It's not Lord. His name is not Jesus. The Son came in the Father's name. And they are one. That's why I read that at first. Because if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And yet I bear witness of myself, my record is true. Then which one is right? Huh? He said it. That's what is written in there. It behooves you to get on your face and begin to say, Father, help me. That's why He said you get on your face and pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. When He prayed in that name, He had the power to press on. Sure He did. Because He knew what name He came in. And that third time when He came back, He says, finish. You all just go on and sleep. It makes you no different at all. I'm ready. The Son of Man is ready to be delivered into the hand of these wicked sinners. He was ready, saints. We about to get that kind of prayer, that kind of desire, that we are ready for what? Whatever. Whatever. Is it not written in the book of Shemaiah? That's what Scripture says. And that's the truth. 2 Chronicles, turn to chapter 33. I'm laying this out that will cause you to begin to articulate spiritually. Break that stronghold of your flesh, saints. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I just hope you understand it. 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, verse 18. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto Yahweh, the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of Yahweh of Israel, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Israel? He says in verse 19, his prayer also and how Yah was intrigued of him and all of his sins, and his trespasses, and the place wherein he built the high places. And he set up groves and grave images before he was humble. Behold, they are written among the saying of the seers. I have no problem with that. Could be Isaiah, could be Malachiah. Could be Jeremiah, none whatsoever. But what he is saying that the prophets, those things that Yahweh intended for us to understand, are they not written by the prophets? So if Shemaiah was a prophet, then what did he write? Is it for our understanding or is it relevant in this hour? Is it the peace that we need? Or is it just some false thing? Which is it? What is it? Well, that's not enough evidence, preacher. I tell you what, turn back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. I want to begin reading at verse 26. 1 Chronicles 29. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. Does it not read like that in the text you have? At the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age. It says that? Full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. And look at verse 29. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, are they not written in the book of Samuel, the seer? Samuel, sure they are. First and second Samuel, are they not written there? Sure they are. And in the book of who? The prophet, where is that book? Sure. David's story is written in the book of Samuel. He said it's not also written in the book of Nathan the prophet. He said not only that, but in the book of Gad, the seer. Then Nathan sees something that Samuel didn't see. What about Gad? He called them seers. What are you doing, preacher? We better become awakened in this hour. We better awaken unto righteousness too. I didn't add that there. I'm just reading from what it says in the book. Are they not written in the book of the prophet Nathan? Well, that's not saying that, preacher. Well, it talks about the book of Samuel first, doesn't it? Do we have a book of Samuel? Is there a book of Samuel in that text you have? Is there a book of Nathan there? It isn't. And it calls him the prophet. It calls Samuel the what? Seer. And it called Gad what? So they both had the same stature, didn't they? So God's stature was no less significant than the stature of Saul, or the stature of Samuel. You know, I did a little search to see what I could find on Gad. He was one that, history says he was he actually served David in the capacity he was a prophet. He was a prophet that actually served David and assisted him in the accomplishment of the Psalms and writing Psalms. The name has to have some significance. So Yahweh put it there. He did not just say a seer, saints. He called him by name. So does he has a name too. He has a name. He called him by name. He called all of them by name. If he did that, these are not scripture. And if these are lies, then all of them are lies. The book of Gad, the book of Nathan. I know what the book of Samuel is. What about the book of Nathan? And the book of Gad. Are they real? It says in verse 30, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went out over him, and over Israel, and over the kingdom of all the countries. Now turn quickly to chapter 9 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 29. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet? Tell me, saints, is that an actual book or is it truth? It asks us that, are they not written in that book? And in the prophecy of Ahiah, the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo, the seer against Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he said, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of, not only that, but the prophecy of Ahiah. He said, are not they written there? Is this relevant or is irrelevant? Does it have any value at all? Or these are just words that were just thrown in there? Are these filler words or are they actually books? That's why Yahweh intends for us, saints, that our time should not be wasted in frivolous and folly. We should give time to Him. We should give time to study, to seek Him. That's why we're such a gullible people. It's very easy to take a people like us. It is. And the men that have a sincere desire to lead us in truth, and we curse them. No, we don't want that. That's for Messiah. He led them to the Father. Yet men did not want that. How do you know? Because Paul said, who do you want, him or Barabbas? And they said, give us Barabbas. And that's what this wicked generation wants today. This wicked religious horse generation. They say, kill him. Give us Barabbas. He was an insurrectionist, a liar, a thief, a murderer. They want men like that. And that's why Yahweh is putting those kinds of men over them to rob them of their souls. He's allowing them to be led by men like that. They don't want a man to tell them their sins. They tell them how vile they are, how wicked they are, and they're going to die in their sins. They don't want that. They want to do one thing that are right in their own eyes. Well, I don't see it like that. No, there's one way to see it, and it's His way. It's not your wicked way. They don't want that today. They want those that they can command and rule and tell them what to say, what not to say. That's what they want. Cowards and spirits of perverts. They don't want nobody to confront them and show them what they're lacking and what things are needed in their soul. They don't want that. See, this is what shows us what we're lacking. We question everything, but we don't question nothing. And so you always show you just what's in your soul. That's all He's showing you. And we're such an offensive people, we don't want Him to tell us that. That's why this wicked world, they pray to their gods. I have an article here that Pat Robinson said that God told him. What God told him that? That Bush is going to win by a landslide. Ain't no problem. He said God said to him, Pat Robinson, God told him, is Bush in a blowout? That's what he said. Now who is the God? What God is telling the Democrats that it's Dean in a blowout? Huh? He said, God said to him, he spent a few days praying before the first of the year. And God said, it's Bush in a blowout. Bush is going to win. No doubt about that. God told him that. He's the same one that said God told him to run. And he will win. These liars, they're perverts, they don't even know Yahweh. I will show you that word God. I know what I'm saying, saints. No, I'm trying to bring us to the truth. We will not be caught by this slyness of the powers of darkness. So who is Shemaiah? What about the book of Nathan? What is that? Is that an actual book? Is there wisdom there? We just have 66, that's enough. Is that so? I watch some of these little girls around here read books that thick. I looked at Whitney the other day. She got one at the Davis that thick. That thick. That thick. Small letters too. It wouldn't hurt if that one was that thick, would it? Huh? Give you something to occupy your time. Even this don't even occupy it. Even that doesn't take any of your time, because your time is too valuable for Him. You got time for everything but Him. And have no time for Him. Got time to lie and cheat. Time to fight like hellhounds. But no time for Almighty Yahweh. Now, I don't know. Maybe you can help me on this one. Numbers 21:14. Wherefore, it is said in the book of the wars of Yahweh. Is that what it says in that text you have? In the what? In the book of the what? Of Yahweh. It says what, Lord? Well, I'm using Yahweh. Amen. What He did in the Red Sea and in the brook of Arnon. He said it's not written in the book of wars. The wars of Yahweh. All books of those were all the books. Well, could be. But I know what it says there. We talk about the book of Revelation, the book of John, the book of the Acts of the Apostles. What about the book of the Acts of Solomon? What about that? Of course, they sell books that thick. It wouldn't hurt to have, if this thing was that thick, that wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't trouble me at all. Not one bit. So the answer has to be the truth, or it's not the truth. What Messiah said, in both cases, it has to be the truth or it's not the truth. Now, don't go out here and try to explain that to nobody, because you're going to mess up. I'll tell you what He's trying to say, okay? I know you don't know. That's why these fools think that they're going to do what they want to do. They're not going to do it. That's why it's pleased you always by the foolishness of preaching. To save them, just believe. You just believe. Just believe. Just believe that He is. That's it. Not some Lord, some God. Just believe that He is. Oh, your way. He is your way. There ain't no doubt about that. His name is a memorial unto Him. That's what Scripture says. His name alone is a memorial. Just that name. That is His memorial. And a memorial is to remind us. And for us to be reminded of whom He is. And that's what His name is. To remind us who He is. Not just some God. I was reading some scriptures the other day. I sat down with the brothers. I said, brothers, I want to show you this. I want you to read this. And tell me what you think this word means. Now, I gave you that definition of what it says God, right? Now I want you to look at that, because there's something I want to show you that. Now I want you to look up here. Now, what I want you to do is go to Isaiah chapter 65. There's something I want to show you here. I see why they pray to their God too. Go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65 verse 11. Isaiah 65 verse 11. Now when you get that, just read that. When you get that, just read it aloud. Everyone just read it. That's all right. Don't wait for no. Just read it.
For ye are a man that forsake your way, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that truth, and that furnish a drink offering unto that number.
Have you ever read that scripture before? I have. And the other day, I just kind of looked at it in a different sense. But what do you think troop is? These soldiers? A gathering? That's what it would mean, really, in the English language, wouldn't it? Troop. That's it. If you look at that again carefully, if you read it, see, we don't read, saints. If you just read, you can almost see something there that it says, but ye have forsaken, but ye are they that forsake your way. You've forsaken me. That forget my holy mountain. That prepare a table for that truth. That prepare a table for that truth. What truth? Soldiers? They talk about something specifically because they use that. Not say those, but that. There's something specific that he's talking about in that text. And it is. I'll show you. I'll show you what that word troop is. All right. Now this dictionary on this text is that's all a Hebrew and a Greek lexicon is. It's just a dictionary. That's all it is. It's just simply a dictionary. It shows us the proper semantics of a word with proper location in sentence. That's what it is. Troop now. And we think we know what it means because we look at soldiers and all of that. I said, nah, there's more to that than this. I will show you what it is. Then this is what it is, all right? It's the God of fortune. It's a Babylonian deity. And you see what his name is? Gad. G-A-D. Isn't that so? You see that up there? You see that right there? Gad. You all see this. Some of y'all can't see, but you see this right here. G-A-D. You see that? You all see that? And look at that piece of paper I gave you. It says God. Read that. Start from the first one. It says God is what? It says look. It says God. It says main entry, God, right? Amen. Pronunciation, how's it pronounced? Yes. Or what? Oh God. So that's why they pray to their God. Oh God, help me, oh God. It's Gad. That's what it means. It's a Babylonian deity, it's a God of fortune. Well, that ain't all of it right there. See, this is not something I put in the dictionary, it's there. Gad. God. Look what God means now. Folks say they don't. It says the supreme. Now this is what God. It doesn't say capitalize the first word there. A capitalize. It says what the supreme or the ultimate what? Reality. That's what it means. You can try to refine it any way you want to. As the being perfect in power, wisdom, or in goodness, who is worshipped as creator and ruler of the universe. Christian science, the incorporeal divine principle ruling over all eternal spirits, infinite mind, a being or object believed to have more than natural attributes and power to require human worship. One controlling a particular aspect or a particular reality require or a person or a thing now, a supreme value. It says a person or a thing of supreme value, a powerful ruler. Now you can reject that all you want to, but that's what it means. And Yahweh is not that. He's Yahweh. And he ain't no God of fortune either. He ain't God. And as I began to understand that, as I can see why they pray, why we've been taught even to pray the way we pray. Messiah said, you pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He called him Father. He called him Father. And he said, now your name is hallowed because we know you as our Father. That's what it is. No, it's not something that we concoct here. This is what the actual meaning of it. It's the Hebrew lexicon. Amen. I got something here. It says, God, he was also well known among the Canaanites. Brother Allen gave me this. I didn't even know this was here until he gave me this. It was just a meaning of words that Brother Allen brought me. Because I asked him, and he went to the Oxford Dictionary. They have a dictionary. Of course, it's in Oxford. Now you can register to use it. It's like $120-some a year just to use it. It's one of the most profound dictionaries in the world. It is. And so what they did, they gave me a trial use, so I never went in. I never used the thing, but Brother Allen did. So he went in and found some meanings of words. And they get down to the origin, to the etymology of words, and they tell you where they come from. So it says Gad, apart from Gad, it says Gad, God, he is also known amongst the Canaanites, the Kenites, where his name was often coupled with Baal, Gad, which according to the Masoretic vowel pointing of the book of Joshua is pronounced Baal, God. The same name is discovered in ancient Germanic language of God. God, good, geet, and search farther back in the Indo-European root, we find that it traced back to the word gosh or goulash, which means union, even sexual union. No wonder this meaning is still evident in the Dutch and German gad. It is also not difficult to see it in the English gaffy and gadding about. And sure, every word has a significance. That's why Yahweh said we're going to be judged by every idle word. Every word, we're going to have to answer for everything we speak. And this is a wicked generation. Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care one bit about our souls. It's either that this is the God of fortune, it is Yahweh, or it's not, or it's a Babylonian deity. And then he's that trooper. He's telling them, you have, first of all, you have forsaken my table. You have forsaken me. You forgot my holy mountain, and you prepared a table for that truth. And you furnished a drink offered unto that number. What number? You just words like that. Is that not confusing? Yeah. Look at this, the word number now. You think you know what that means? Look at this. Mina, God of faith, whom Jews worship in Babylon. Fate or fortune. So they worship the God of fate and fortune. That's why folks win the lottery and say, I thank God. God blessed me with the lottery. I hit it big today. And so everybody's looking for fortune today. That's what they're all looking for. You know, it'd been very simple then to just put the words in there instead of using that, wouldn't it? It's almost a confusing thing. That's why we need the modern Messiah, saints. We need a spiritual mind. There's enough in this book to take you till you die. There's enough to carry on until you die. There's enough here to keep you busy until you die. And it starts with your corrupt flesh, killing that trash. Where does it rise up? It takes up all your time. No time for your way, but time for every kind of sin there is. Every kind of pleasure, but no time for him. It shouldn't be. It's not something I put in there. It's there in that text. That scripture is the same way here as it is in your text. I'm not smart enough to revise this and put the meanings there. It's just there. It has nothing to do with me. You read the whole chapter 65 and you understand what you always actually saying. There are many things in here that just baffle the minds of the folks because we're just so accustomed to our little rosy type things. I listened to a preacher on the way home when I went out today. And let me tell you, it was a Baptist preacher. He's not a preacher. And everything he talked about, I never heard him mention the name God one time. I never heard him mention the name Jesus. I never heard him mention the name Lord. All he talked about is insecurity. Preach on. That's what they say now. And I sat there amazed and said, what a sad thing. These folks think they're truly saved, and they're not. They're lost on their way to hell. They're walking in darkness. He is not Lord. Well, then who is this here then? Now, this Lord is spelled the same way that you spell his name, capital L. I want to read a little bit of this, all right? It says here, a former witch looks at Lord of the Rings. Now, the Lord of the Rings is spelled the same way it's in your text. The witch Lord is the Lord. All right? And this is a witch right here. This is what the witch says. I want you to hear this. Something very strange is going on in the United States. I'm a spirit that a heart at work are bringing forth a power that is designed to captivate the entire world. That's why the spirit that must bear witness in us must be one to overcome every vile thing there is in this world. And you're going to have the spirit of Yahweh. Not the spirit of God or the spirit of the Lord. You have the spirit of Yahweh. And that's it. Because these folks have the spirit of the Lord. Yeah. And this is what this witch says now. This Wiccan. Shortly after the Twin Towers on the World Trade Center in New York fell to the ground and drastically changed over our nation forever, a new series of movies began to draw millions of people to the movie theaters. That is one of the most corrupt things in the world today, the theaters. They are the dungeons of hell. They are the houses of darkness. Standing above and apart from the many fantasy movies and books is the trilogy of a series called The Lord of the Rings. The series was written by the late J.R.R. Tolkien, and was first published in book from the earliest 1950s during the rock music revolution in the 60s. The Lord of the Ring trilogy caught on, and over 100 million of these books were sold. My. These books greatly fuel the spiritual revolution and opened the door for witchcraft to seize upon the world. This is a witch now. All of this is being done to prepare the way for the new world order in a new Aquarian age. I was once a witch. I was very much a part of the world of J.R.R. Tolkien, revealed in the Lord of the Ring trilogy. In the 60s, I practiced astrology, somatics, numerology, among other devices of craft. I was graciously, mercifully saved out of it. I'm now spending my life in a mission to expose occultism and forces of darkness. I'm writing this message with a great urgency, for I can spot witchcraft in a moment. I recognize it well. I can see that the deceptive cloud of witchcraft has descended upon our nation. Even many use the word Christians are being polluted or pulled into this forbidden realm of occultism because they are so ignorant of Satan's devices. Before I realized the danger of the Lord of the Rings trilogy and expose it as a real witchcraft, I will reveal some things regarding the belief and the doctrine of witches. First of all, witches and Satanists are not the same thing, lies they are. Witches do not believe in Satan. Well, the beginning which is taught is that there is a force. The force has two sides and can be controlled by magic spell, words, portions, incantations, rope magic, rings, and so on. Witches believe that there is good witchcraft, bad witchcraft, and the good always triumph over the evil. Witches also teach that battles are fought in the middle earth, and the area plane causing upheaval both above and below. Thus, witches emphasize the good must triumph over evil, but it is all witchcraft. I'm amazed, he said, when I hear ministers such as Chuck Colson focus on the family and the Assemblies of God defend such works as Harry Potter, the Lord of the Rings. I am amazed because they say the same things that initiate covenant witchsaying, which is the good triumph over evil. It is all witchcraft, and that's good. That these professing whoremongers, what I call them, Christians, are defending its witchcraft as forbidden in Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. As a former witch, I'm horrified and outraged to find that Focus on the Family was promoting a book as announced in December 2001 issues of their magazine. The book began promoting its title, Finding God and the Lord of the Rings. Now that's what Focus on the Family says. Doctor not there. He's not lying. And that's what they're finding God. They're not finding your way. That's the difference. Finding God and the Lord of the Rings. Who does he pray to? If he's praying to God, what God is he praying to? You praying to God, what God are you praying to? Huh? Look like his God is more powerful than yours. The asking price, $13, he said. That's what they asked for the book. The number 13 is a covenant number in the occult. Thus, these so-called Christian ministries are making witches their evangelistic and using witchcraft material in their Sunday schools because they were doing it on a pagan day. Soon they will find their children are in the crafts as good little Christian witches. The Lord of the Rings trilogy was the work of John R.R. Tolkien, who did his writing during the midnight hours. Now, that's when he wrote. During the midnight hours. Listen to this now. He worked for 12 years and released his story in the 13th year. It took him 13 years to write that trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien became known as the master of the Middle Earth. This was a land inhabited by hobbits, elves, mortar men, wizards, dwarves, and orcs of grotesque goblins. The hero of the story is Hobbit, a halfing, only 3.5 foot tall, named Frodo. These crazy names. What do they find then? And yet the little goblin has a name, doesn't he? Frodo. Yet he's a witch, but he has a name. And yet Yahweh has no name. And yet he's supposed to be God. Lies. He's Yahweh. And that's the truth. And yet this vile thing, Frodo Bagging, that's his name now. Frodo has pointed ears and furry feet, and he carries a cursed object with him. The cursed object is a golden ring invested with terrible powers that must be destroyed by casting it into a fiery abyss at a great distance. If Frodo fell, the ring would fall into the hands of evil wizards called Sauron. And the entire world will pass into eternal darkness under the Dark Lord. Now, that's what he calls him, Lord now. And you tell me Yahweh is the Lord? Nah. Dark Lord, sorrow. World is a land of shadows called Mordor. Isn't that something? They all have names. The ring has an inscription on it, which is written a message in the witchcraft language of runes. Now, that's the language of witchcraft, and it's called runes. Now, listen to this, Sage. He says, we must remember that these runes are real and are used in the occult. As I now reveal the meanings of the runes, please bear in mind that President George W. Bush wears an exact replica of this ring. And yet Pat Robertson said God told him that George was going to win. This God told him. Sure it is. Pat Robertson is the devil. I have an enlarged picture to prove it. He said, I can prove it that George Bush wears this ring. The runes or rings are interpreted as follows. One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. And one ring to bring them all in the darkness, bind them. Isn't this nation bound by old Bush? He got them all captivated. J.R.R. Tolkien was born in South Africa, where his father, Arthur, managed a bank. When his father died, his mother, Mabel, returned his children to Birmingham, England, where he converted to Roman Catholicism. Tolkien said, I desire dragons with a profound desire. He became a prodigy and was speaking, listen now, German, French, Latin, and flawless classical Greek. Flawless now, classical Greek. But not flawless German, but flawless classical Greek. He would sometimes break out in a Gothic, an ancient form of German. He would also speak in medieval Welsh and Anglo-Saxon. Tolkien even developed new languages, one of them called the Elvish. He went on to say that the entire story of the Lord of the Rings came to him as a result of the new language that he invented, that he could talk to these powers of darkness. You see, that's what the Spirit does. It gives us a new language that we can talk to Yahweh. This man had, he talked to the Lord that revealed unto him, these things are real, saints. You better begin to purify your mind because this dark power is in the earth today. And it's going to rob you of every essence of the truth of Yahweh. That's why these fools are the only way to hell. I don't care what folks say. I don't care what they feel about their loved ones, what they call loved ones. They're not even loved ones. They're going to die in their sins. And that's the truth. They're not going to put their heads to the plow and turn back and think that they are fit for Yahweh's kingdom. That is the truth. He chose preachers to warn us, to tell us of our sins, to tell the righteous and the wicked. And this generation doesn't want that. So they're finding some whorehouse that they will be satisfied with someone to speak things to satisfy their flesh. But they're still going to die in their sins. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter, your mama, your grandmama. It makes no difference. He was a professor at Oxford University as all of this was happening. And as the story was of elves, wizards, trolls, and hobbits poured into his mind, while it became a manuscript under his pen, he said, "My work has escaped from my control." He said, "I have produced the monster." Tolkien, a devout Catholic, a master of Middle Earth, converted his colleague, C.S. Lewis. And spent much time with him at Oxford Pub, a tavern. They claim to have kindred spirit. See, that's what these folks are all, they all claim to have kindred spirits. And that's why they can do the same thing. That's why they can mind the same thing. Now I read that, they say, what Lord is this Lord? The Lord of the Rings. Has given this man this power that he has captivated the minds of millions. This trilogy, this thing is making money hand over foot. It's all demology. It's not of Yahweh. I think I'd rather spend time finding the book of Shemaiah than to finding some trilogy of the Lord of the Rings. They open their children to this demology and this spirit. That's what the commercials do on television, I'm telling you, saints. As even before I even met prophecy, I knew that that television was a wicked thing. It's wicked. It is the master tool of hell. It is the master tool. I never forget Evangel Hartsfield. I never forget. I say this before I close. The last time I went to the movies, it was probably 25 years ago. We first got saved. And I tell you what happened. There was a young man. He was a very knowledgeable brother, a beautiful brother. His name was Tommy. A beautiful brother. Sweet man. Beautiful brother. And I remember the last movie I ever went to see was called Brubaker. It was about an undercover police officer went to the prison to find out how they were doing the prisoners. It was Brubaker. And I'll never forget that. I told my wife we would never do this again. Because if Evangel Hartsfield, after I met him, he said, you know, that is the tool of hell, Satan. That's how he captivates the minds of people. I'll never forget, as I walked in the movie, there was Tommy. He was coming out. We were going in. And we both just stood there and looked at each other, just kind of. He was saying to me, this is a filthy thing. And I'm saying to him, this is so filthy. Why am I doing this? And I can sense a shame on him, and he can sense a shame on me. I knew he was wrong, and he knew I was wrong. It was something about that. It was just flat out wrong. And I knew it was wrong. What is this? And I met Evangel Hartsfield right after that. And that was one of the first things he said. He said, it's a tool of Satan. Just like these whorehouses. Open them up to impart these vile, unclean things in them. And that's why they love it today. Satan is so masterful that he gets those movies out within 2 or 3 months. He got them on DVDs because he wants it. Poisoning the souls of the people. He knows that's how he's going to do it. And this is the wicked world. And folks say they love each other, but yet they will not tell. Love is nothing but truth. It's not based on some emotional feeling. It's just truth. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It wasn't based on the emotion or his feeling. He just loved the, he just loved us. We were wicked as hell, and he still loved us. And everything he told us, you're going to die in your sins unless you repent. What did Shemaiah say? What did the prophet Nathan say? In that book, what was written? And that's the truth, saints. That's what love is. It's truth. It's not this This crazy mess they call love, that ain't love, saints. I tell you the truth, that ain't love. It's a false thing. It's not the love of Yahweh. We need the spirit of Yahweh in us in order for that love to be spread and abroad for Him, first of all. Then we love Him, we love Him above all things. And that's the truth. I'm going to close there. But the word is still the truth. What I read to you tonight wasn't what something I conjured up. It's in that thing you think you know. And so what you're always trying to do is tell you, you need to repent and get your heart right and seek Him. And see, and search the scriptures, as Messiah said. For in them you think you have eternal life. And you are the ones that testify me. Do we truly search? And that's the difference between searching and looking. We do more looking than we do searching, alright? You search and you plow your heart, you lay your heart to define it out. And we just don't want to do that today. May Yahweh bless you. He give you strength and peace. This world is on the dark illusion of hell. And only those that are walking in the light are going to escape. No one else. No one else. That's why He gave men to warn the people. And that's what any true-hearted shepherd will do. He will warn you. Yahuwah, He will warn you. And that's His job, is continuous to cry a hell aloud to warn, to warn, to warn. And so people say today, nah, I don't need that. So they purchase their own kind. Kindred spirit. Because he likes having a few more folks there, he's not going to say anything. And they're wicked as hell. They're going to die in their sins. I'm not going to stop warning. And I warn you all tonight, you have begun to seek Him and to seek His face. And stop seeking these carnal things that you're seeking. You have begun to seek Him. For your hour is at hand. It's not afar off. It is here now. And you better begin to seek Him. Either what I read is not the truth or it's the truth. It's wrong or it's right. It's in that book. And if they did it or they put things in that shouldn't be in there, what about His name? He has a name, and His name is Yahweh, and it's a beautiful name, and it brings inspiration to my soul, blesses me, and I won't change it for no one, not even for you or Sister Roberts, for that is His name, and that is His memorial, His name. Every time you think about that name, you think about His goodness. May Yahweh bless you. Encouraged tonight, I am. Rest in the faith and rest in Him. Bless you all, saints. I love you all. Be encouraged. Pray for me. Amen. I want to be strong in the faith and preach the truth. I'm not a deceiver. I'm not a liar. I'm not trying to gain anything for myself. I'm not. All these liars, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to gain for themselves, but they're not going to gain anything. They're not going to get anything. They're going to lose their souls. What? I ask you the question. What will it profit a man today if he gained the whole world and he loses his soul? Tell me. What is it going to profit him? He'd have 10 Cadillacs, 25 houses, and 50 million in the bank. But he loses his soul. What good is that? What good? Nothing. I'd rather have him than silver or gold. And I won't change nothing he puts in my heart to speak to his people. For any of you all. Because if you want me to change it because you don't love him and you don't love me, Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. I know love, saints. I do. I've had too many Timothy love and then they turn against me. I have. I just have. And that's the truth. I know His love. May Yahweh bless you. Father, look upon your people. Give them strength, I pray, in Yahshua's name. Bless you all, saints.